Thank you to the South African representative, Mr. Foslo, on the question. I'm going to start by saying that the difficulty, as you know, with hate speech regulation is the question of where do we draw the line between freedom of expression, free expression, robust expression in a society, and limiting or regulating, even criminalizing forms of speech that could incite violence, forms of speech that dehumanize whole groups, and forms of speech that are considered, you know, historically derogatory historically oppressed groups. So that's the first difficulty. The first difficulty is determining which forms of speech, which forms of action should be classified as hate speech. Clearly, hate crimes are an easy case because they constitute either assault or murder, or harassment. Those are easy to be dealt with under the pre-existing legal frameworks. Limiting hate speech is difficult precisely for the reasons I've pointed out, because of its close relationship and close tension with the need to protect freedom of expression, and in particular, the need to ensure robust democratic debate on certain issues. South Africa currently is in a difficult position actually around this issue. The Constitutional Court has heard a matter which, although didn't deal with race, it dealt with the homophobic slur, has raised the question of whether the constitutional provision, Section 16 on freedom of expression, as well as the provision in the Equality Act of South Africa, which not only prohibits hate speech, but actually prohibits speech that is considered hurtful to certain groups. Now, there is a debate currently that we are waiting for a court decision on the matter as to whether that is not a stretch too far. The inclusion of hurtfulness as one of the prohibited forms of hate speech has raised a very thorny contention. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is that the South African legal framework on hate speech deals with different forms of hate speech, sexist hate speech, xenophobic hate speech, racist hate speech. And so it's not always clear, not always a productive, because these are very different forms of discrimination. These are very different social identities. And so there's a risk that in trying to address all forms of discriminatory or hateful speech can actually result in a blunt approach that doesn't look at the nuances of the different categories of discrimination or the different categories of hate speech and the different social identities involved. That has become an issue. The third issue is the one that you point out, is a question of definitions. If Black people who are critiquing racism are using strong, angry political language, then they are also at risk of being marked as committing hate speech or guilty of racism, which of course, in a way, defeats the function of this legislation, which is to repair the historical legacies of white supremacy, Jim Crow, slavery, and discrimination. And so the risk that the hate speech provisions can be so overbroad as to also politically silence members of racial minorities who are using strong political language to raise the question of racism and to achieve anti-racist ends is also an issue. That anti-racism can also then be treated bluntly as a form of racism. There are ways of addressing this. The way you address it is by making sure that the hate speech provisions specifically target or forms of hate speech which perpetuate historical and entrenched forms of domination. So to make sure that the hate speech provisions do what they're supposed to do, which is to protect vulnerable, historically excluded groups against racial violence of all kinds. And that's a technical issue of how you formulate the hate speech provision so that you can assist the courts in identifying legitimate instances of hate speech, and those instances of hate speech which are an attempt to silence anti-racist groups. So it's a very complicated issue. I believe that South Africa is not making good progress because of a number of reasons. The main reason is because the courts are not going to be placed to address the question of hate speech. In fact, the courts are only going to muddy the issue, because what happens when you take a political, social issue to court is then you reduce it into a technical, interpretive matter. We also still have a judiciary which, although is transforming, still has a very conservative way of thinking about questions of human rights, public law, and constitutionalism. So we have to think about whether we have a strong enough judiciary that can understand that it has to address power relations when addressing issues of racism. South Africa is seeing a number of cases. The South African Human Rights Commission, unfortunately the Deputy Commissioner who was leading this, Priscilla Jana, has recently passed away. But indeed, there has been a Section 11 Committee on Equality that was established many years ago, around 2016, 2017, which was attempting to assist the Human Rights Commission to deepen its current anti-racism framework. So it is not for lack of trying that the South African government and South African state is struggling with this question of racism. It's because there's a long and deep history of racism and racial antagonism, which will not be addressed in South Africa without some form of economic redress first. We need to achieve material equality before symbolic and social forms of anti-discrimination can become durable. Until we get to that point, we're going to have difficulty shifting the current racial tensions in South African society. I don't know if that answers your question, but those are my first thoughts on the very important question that has been raised. Thank you, Chair.